Welcome to Watching Westworld, the officially unofficial podcast for Westworld on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking about Season 4, Episode 6 of Westworld, titled Fidelity. It's the instant talk. Actually, this is the instant take portion. Excuse me. Instant talk is for premium members only. Aaron, what'd you think of this episode?
To thine own self be true. I think that... I still like conceptually everything that this show is doing, but this episode, I think that there's going to be a lot of grumbling because there's some of the underlying nuts and bolts of the show I don't know make sense. Which I don't know if it's a problem, you know, and kind of the way that like, that's what I think. But I think that like in the exactly the same way that like the, another show that we both like that also has a few kind of maybe nuts and bolts problems, Foundation, that show that was on Apple TV. Sometimes the crunchiness of the universe and how hard sci-fi it kind of feels gets in the way of what the story, like the story that the storytellers want to tell. They want to tell a streamlined, abbreviated kind of moral story or an overarching thing about the grand sweep of history or, you know, transitioning from humans to AI intelligence and stuff like that. And like the details of that, like the pervasive tracking and monitoring and enough of that world kind of gets in the way of doing that. So they just like, fuck it. We're just going to do some dumb shit.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that is what like, so if you could overlook that, there's a lot of really cool things going on the show. But I think that there's going to be a lot of people saying that they're getting, it's hard to overlook that stuff for them. What do you think of this episode?
I think I like this episode. It's getting harder for me to calibrate on Westworld. And I think that's partially due to the way they're telling the stories.
Yeah.
Every single episode, they want to blow your mind and twist you up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to the point where like the surprise factor is so high that I literally can't be surprised by this show because I won't believe anything it tells me ever. Yeah. Like I even at the end of an episode, I find myself going, okay, well, how are they going to spin this the next episode to make none of this true or you know, completely turn everything I thought I knew on its head? It's a hard watch in that way. And I think you can only really get grounded at the end of a season. And so like the actual process of watching this show is infuriating to me, but like you, I really love like the concepts. I love the space that it's exploring, and it's hard to, you know, get those two ends of that story to meet for me, of the storytelling and the story that they are telling.
Yeah, I love it because like almost every, even in the first season, almost every season we get to this point and we're like, you know, the best way to enjoy this show is like, hot damn, that was wild. I can't wait for next week.
Yeah,
but we're watching it like half a dozen times between the two of us and trolling Reddit and getting 150 theories emailed in.
Yeah, the best way to watch the show is just going to be binge it at the end of the season.
Yeah, but I like the, like, so I thought it was really cool that this is kind of like gave me a lot of playing Portal the video game vibes, or like some kind of roguelike indie game where it's like you wake up in a prison and oh my god, you look across the hall and it's like you
super meat but boy, where all your corpses just stack up
yeah
you see all the blood
and,
trails,
and
yeah.
Like, and it's the kind of episode where, like, when Aaron Paul sees his body in the air shaft, I elbowed Cecily, like, oh, he should totally fucking Matt Damon Born Identity this shit. Use him as a meat cushion. And then fucking hell, the show did. Uh-huh. So it's like, I thought that was kind of, like, do you think that's stupid or is that kind of badass? Like, if Matt Damon gets away with it in Born Identity, why can't Aaron Paul?
It's both.
Yeah,
because like,
really
he's
is.
A host too, right? He should have the body of a superhero practically. I don't know why he's huffing and puffing. I don't know why he's coughing. I don't know why he's unable to drop 15 feet and land.
Oh, that was a ways down. I think that was like 30.
The way they visualized it, it seemed like maybe it was three times his height, if that.
Oh, I thought it was given 30, 40 foot vibes, which on the concrete, especially when they said he's got a weak body or whatever, you know, like, I don't know.
Did they say he had a weak body? Why'd they make him weak?
Because he's going to die like within several days. Like Hale specifically said, it was one line, and she specifically said, "You're in a shit body, and you're going to die." Yeah. And then that's when she made the rooms all transparent, so everybody could see each other. Okay. Which, like I said, that stuff is. I thought that stuff was pretty sick. I thought that was really cool. I liked what was going on in the Bones of Temperance.
But even then, they can't let they can't let that thing be what it is, right? They have to twist it again. It has to be part of Hale's plan. It has to be part of getting to the information that he has in his head.
But of course it does.
She wants. Yes, but the show does this every single episode. That's the thing. It's like, I don't believe what I'm watching as I'm watching it. Is the problem.
See, I don't I guess that's the other thing is I don't ever feel like they retcon things. I feel like they keep on layering information that recontextualizes things. Sure, but I don't know. I think that's really cool.
To a point, I agree.
Okay. I haven't got to a point where it hasn't yet. The stuff I'm talking about that's annoying to me is kind of like they do this Matrix retread where they're going into the city and they're getting an outlier and they go back to the previous timeline line where Awade is still alive. Apparently we got confirmation she's dead in the prime timeline or the most current timeline. And Cookie is still a little girl. They're doing this Matrix retread where it's like, oh, we got to blend in or the agents will find us and all that kind of stuff. And then the agents show up, these horrifying white drones, and everyone can just be cool as long as you don't move.
So stupid.
This is like 6-year-olds playing freeze tag, man. Like this makes no fucking sense. Even in the earliest days of Fly City, like we talked about how, okay, maybe she's not tracking the host because of some kind of crazy altruistic valuation of their privacy that she's really trying not to be a not cool mom and dad. All right. No fucking shot. Dude, all these humans are not tracked down to the micrometer.
And you don't send it. Look, the FBI doesn't send their teams out into the field without any identification on the people they're trying to pick up.
Right.
Why would you send the drones out to just pick up anybody who's moving? Like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
So, and this is part of like why it's so infuriating when Westworld it gets so tricky and so subtle is because they do stupid shit like this too. And maybe they'll come back and retcon this. Maybe they'll twist this up with a mind blowing twist about.
I don't think so. I think
works, but occasionally they do this stupid shit, and so I'm stuck in some kind of limbo here where I know the show is super smart, but the show is also super dumb at times. And so how do I ever find a balance there?
Yeah. And that's like, that's kind of like Foundation season 1, too. There was so much stuff that was like soaring and amazing. And then it's usually when they try to do some action things. Like, I don't feel like Lisa and Jonathan's heart is in that stuff, you know?
Then just don't do it. Right?
Yeah. But they do want to tell the story. They need. That's what I'm saying. Like thematically and conceptually, to make all the other pieces meet, they need this stuff to happen. They need this world to behave like this and have this kind of economy and these kinds of like values and stuff. But they don't. That's not what the part of the story that they clearly care to tell. What they're really telling is like this really intricate thing about what is our existence like, and free will and determinism, and what it looks like for an AI to take over, and the ethics involved, the morality of that. Mm-hmm. They give two shits about the security of these parks and all that kind of stuff. So they just kind of yada yada through it. And I think that's what I say. And it's like, I think that there's going to be a sharp divide between people who are going to like, well, we still like the other stuff that they're doing well. We really like watching Aaron Paul lose control of his robot body and, you know, try to win himself an Emmy because that's very entertaining, right?
It's very entertaining, yeah. I enjoy
it. And we're going to overlook the, like you said, the dumb shit. And then there's some people and be like, well, I'm not going to overlook the dumb shit because I'm not super. And if you're the type of person who's like, I don't understand why I should care about these robots. I feel like you're increasingly going to feel like you don't have a home here. And that sucks. But like I said, I still, the stuff this show is doing really, really well. It's not being done by many other shows. And like I said, it's done really, really well. So,
yeah, there's one other like sleight of hand that they performed, not this episode, but last episode. And we caught on to it and we just didn't have any context for it at the time. It's when Jay is in the stairwell of the tower that he's going up to the outlier. And
props to the community for sussing that out. Yeah.
Yeah, apparently he got swapped out at that point, I guess. But then who shot William in the head? And why shoot? I guess shooting William in the head is for the outlier at that point, right?
So this is Hale using the man in black as bait, as a patsy.
Yes, I suppose so. I don't think William knew about it.
Unless there's some kind of crazy double secret agent twist with the resistance. Who knows?
No, it seems like, the plan was shoot William in the head so the outlier will think that Jay is true blue, and then Jay comes back and spies.
Yeah. It all comes back to pants. Hale's got to know. Halorus has got to know what's the one thing he's got and she doesn't. It's pants.
She just doesn't have them.
And I think that's kind of funny that she... The other thing that I think makes a lot of sense about some of the show is to keep in mind that I think from the show's perspective, one of the defining things about hosts is they are kind of wretchedly naive and inexperienced, especially like in the before times. Because like it seems insane that Hale is fixated on the one like. What could be entirely a rhetorical thing that he said in the middle of battle, or something that humans say that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Maybe it was super sexist. It's like Coach,
why did you win the game tonight? Well, we just wanted it more. We gave 110%. Those other son of bitches over there gave 95%. And Hale's like, fuck, throw those things into a formula and run it. Go. Like, I think that's what the show is getting at, is that she is looking for a reason, and I think Caleb did a great job of spelling it out. It's like, no, you've just set up a fucking horror show, and as soon as people realize it, they want to get the fuck out of here because they're not irrational. I think they're saying that Hale is the one irrational robot that's kind of lording it over, although I guess they're all her progeny, so they're all I don't know. I think that's a really fascinating thing, that you've got these mentally ill robots that wake up to their situation and just like, I'm out.
Yeah, and like Hale is so in denial, right? Like she's talking about how perfect her species is, her people are, and they're perfectly immortal, they're perfectly rational, and yet she kicks a chair across the fucking room in a fit of rage.
Right.
How rational is that?
She's Bobby Knight in it. He was not a big fan, not very rational. By the way, people, I know a lot of people are queuing up already, but if you'd like to get in on the instant talk portion of the podcast, go ahead and start chatting. Throw stuff up, and we're going to collect it and go over it here just a bit. As soon as me and Jim exhaust ourselves with ourselves, we'll turn to you.
I'm exhausted. No.
I'm exhausted this episode. Okay, swapping Maeve's marble.
Uh-huh.
I'm assuming that the secret sauce that she's got must be all programming, must be all software. Because I kind of was like, oh God, are they going to set up something to where to save the weapon, they have to kind of destroy the weapon? But I think it must all be software.
Yeah, it seems like they just transferred it to another control unit, which I didn't know if that was just the marble or the housing for the marble or what, but because I forget all that from last season. But apparently it's the entire damn thing. So, yeah, you can just copy her over.
Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
Executive producers get to exercise their voting fingers again this week with another prestige movie poll. This week's nominees are Mystic River, The Last Samurai, and Secondhand Lions. Take your pick and seal our fate.
This Monday on the premium feed, we open up the books and deliver a State of the Empire podcast, talking about the current condition of Bald Move and our plans for this year.
This Friday, it's Lunch 420, which given last weekend seems like a tragic missed opportunity. Ah well. Lunch will be served piping hot at 1 p.m. Eastern. Come join live or warm up some leftovers when lunch is released in podcast form later that day.
If you want more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content, plus ad-free feeds.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love.
I love that Caleb's cable technician install guy backstory paid off, and then he's able to cobble together enough equipment at the top of that tower to send a ham radio signal to his daughter. I thought that was cute.
Sure.
You know, he's this blue collar dude that's banging on cables and knows his way around an industrial control unit. And
does. Let me ask you this. So there's a signal that goes out from that tower to the car, to I guess Frankie's car, C's car. Mm-hmm. And it kind of kicks the radio on. I mean, does I know how radio waves work in our current timeline. I assume they work the same in that timeline. Do they have like a special frequency? I can't remember from previous episodes. Did they set like a certain frequency that they would communicate on?
I think she's always
got this radio on that frequency.
I do. I think it's a Jodie Foster contact situation she is. Yeah. Or a Rick Grimes, The Walking Dead situation. Where, sure. You know, who was he talking? Good Lord. Who's that guy that? Morgan.
Morgan. Yeah.
Morgan. Sunrise again. I'm using the last vestige of my battery to reach out and talk. Yeah, it's one of those types of deal.
I took the batteries out of Carl's flashlight.
RV got no more juice. People are really pissed. But I'm still saying hi, Morgan. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Walking Dead's about to limp home for its this final installment of its 11th season, and we'll be there to cover it on the Watching Dead.
So that was kind of cool. I couldn't remember if that was made explicit in previous episodes or not, but
yeah,
like that. I knew before they said it that Jay was the guy, right? The spy.
Yeah.
Which it was pretty obvious, but
yeah, and I thought that was kind of
twists, I didn't need another.
I thought that was pretty cute in the cold open, as dumb as some of that stuff was. I thought it was cool that they're, you know, these are all the kids that multiple generation of freedom fighters now, and I thought that was pretty cool.
No, it was. It's a convenient storytelling thing they did there, but yeah, I liked seeing any information about that. Like how did this start, right? The resistance.
Yeah.
It seems to me like they had control of the human world way earlier than I thought.
Real soon, like within a year. They went from fly time to this is we got full control, or enough of control to make no mind. Within like a year, because
that was crazy. Cookie,
Frankie, she wasn't more than a year. I couldn't have been more than a year or two older.
No.
What else I gonna say? I had one other. Oh, I also think it was kind of cool that they have like a one episode mystery box, and it was like entirely self contained. The Caleb's resurrection sequence and giving him. Seeing him going all the way down and then passing information to each other and all that. I thought that was interesting, and I'm not sure it's because like it's the kind of thing where I was looking, I'm like, oh man, we're gonna have to figure out where this is going next episode. But no, but I do wonder where it's going now, because we got this build 279 and they've carefully erased all the previous evidence. There's no more clues. There's no more trapdoors. They left all that stuff intentionally so she could see what the hell this was all about. That backfired. So what tack is she going to take now at 279?
I don't know.
Especially since from Caleb's perspective, he's going to forget all of the progress that he's made thus far.
Uh-huh.
I think he's just going to get saved, I guess, because that's the one thing that happened is that his daughter knows that he is some form of alive. And so does Maeve. And so does Bernard. And,
you know, anybody who thought, oh, maybe they've solved Fidelity and this is like somehow way farther in the future than we think. I think this episode completely disproves that.
Why do you say that?
Yet another timeline. Because Caleb's devolving. I don't know. What do you call it when he's James Delosing?
So you think, okay. You think Hale is bluffing when she says, I put you in a weak body that's going to disintegrate.
I mean, possibly, but his mind was going too. And I guess that's part
of
his
mind
body.
Or was it, is it all? I thought it was just his, because like even the Caleb that looked like he was all the way down was still coherent. Like he could understand what Aaron Paul was saying to him and was able to relay a message.
Yeah. The barest of messages. Yeah, I suppose.
You must burn. If you succeed, you run. If you fail, you hide. What the fuck does if you fail, you hide? If you fail, you're going to get your ass burnt up.
Well, I feel like he got the order of operations wrong there. If you hide, you fail. If you run, you succeed. I think is roughly what he was trying to say. So don't like get in this facility and hide. You got to run.
You need time.
You need time.
But that was a hint just so he could start, because that's like I said, it's very Portal. Yeah. It's very Portal, you know,
and that was all planted there by Hale. So like
Hale is GLaDOS confirmed.
Do you think there have been like 50, you know, a bunch of iterations of Caleb that have been put through this process to get to this point? Or you think Hale just manufactured this like the day before? Like, let's make a version of Caleb that is all the way down. Let's make a version that's halfway down.
No, I think she's
say all this shit.
So there's been two. I think there's no reason that she would be cute with her internal versioning system. I believe that the current copy is 279. And that she said she said a specific host number. Was it? It was in the low 270s. The last time she said, or what? Because I don't think these numbers match sequentially. Like the last time she said, you are the blah 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 version. Really? So it was 278. Maybe I gotta consult my notes from the other show. And if anybody wants to fact check that for instant take, that'd be kind of cool too. But how often has she been doing this to him? I have no idea. Like,
well,
I took her at her word that yes, this has been a rotation that she puts to the host, and they all learn a little bit something new, and they prepare in a certain way, and some of them get further than others, and
yeah.
But it's weird, if she wanted to know what would happen if he got away, why didn't she make it a little bit easier? Like, this show is not above the, we've talked about this, the show's not above the Darth Vader gambit of its, the ease of our escape is the only, we talked about, well, see, that's the other thing that made why the Burly Brawl kind of all goes away. Someone even mentioned that in the feedback episode. It's like, well, the reason that dissipated is because, you know, Jay got, and I'm like, oh, well, okay. Mm-hmm. So, although I will say the smarter show would have somebody observe that. We made it out of there pretty easy. Didn't lose a single one. Yeah, I don't know. Might have been a bit too easy, but
sure.
Then what do you do with that?
I feel like they should have killed somebody. Make it look hard, right? Like, God damn, we barely got out of there. We lost somebody.
Right.
If it weren't for Jay coming back when he did, we'd all be dead.
Sacrifice Chewie. We're not going to give him a medal anyway. Do you have anything else you want to talk about, or should we get to the people here?
I've definitely got something I want to save for Tuesday's podcast, because it's probably meatier than we have time for. But yeah, let's get into questions.
All right. Well, we are going to say goodbye to everyone who is not a supporter. You can go to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can join the club or Patreon and get instant access to the live instant talk where we interact with people. People send the stuff through chat. Questions, topics, theory suggestions, and we talk about it. If that sounds like a good time, get over to support.baldmove.com for this and many other premium podcasts, ad-free feeds, tons of stuff. Thanks for everybody for stopping by and chatting with us. We will have our full thoughts out Tuesday, late afternoon, early evening. If you'd like to get some long form takes sent in to us, please send that in to westworld@baldmove.com. Of course, we'll be back Tuesday with our full form, full analysis, recap, everything. And then Thursday, we'll be having your feedback. So send in that to westworld@baldmove.com. We may be able to read it on the air. We'll see you Tuesday and Thursday. And until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
See ya.